When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Jay Key, Denver Nuggets center Nikola Jokic has been voted the NBA's most valuable player for a second consecutive season. Sources tell ESPN a formal announcement is expected this week. And I know our very own Alan Yates is very relieved by this because
actually, you know,
he was afraid that they might give it to Embiid, but gave it to Jokic.
Alan,
you sure
the
it's
floor
Jokic
is yours.
And not Barkley or somebody?
The floor is yours, Alan. How do you feel about this today? How are you
Hold on,
now?
Let me get the dump button ready. Hold on.
Man, listen, man. First of all, I just don't – like, I get it, but – nah, I'm playing. I get it. I understand why he won, you know, advanced analytics and all that. But when you are looking at an MVP consideration and you see a center do things that hasn't been done since the great Shaquille O'Neal, I feel like that stuff matters. Like, most 40 and 10s matter. Like, 30 games in a row scoring 30 at the center position matters. Like, the whole Ben Simmons thing matters. I get the passes and, you know... Jokic averages this and that, but like the offense is predicated to showcase what he does well, which is pass the ball. But he don't guard nobody. He can't guard nobody, but it's fine. You know,
I mean, he did average 27, 14, and 8.
Yeah, Max. Nuggets and 6. They got, you know, they got a big game tomorrow.
Well, right. That's the whole thing. See, here's my thing, Jay Key. I thought Embiid should have gotten MVP this year. If you're not going to give it to Giannis, you give it to Embiid, right? But the real issue for me. Why do I think he was MVP?
Yes.
I think basically offensively, though they do things a little differently, it's very close between him and Jokic. And defensively, Embiid is better.
Better, no question about it.
Right.
But also,
there's offense and defense. And then what else do you want from him? He carried his team. But Key and Jay, to me, the real thing is once the playoffs start, that separates the wheat from the chaff, right? The men from the boys. Like,
no, so you Embiid think so what you're essentially saying is that the award is given out too early.
Yes!
What's the regular
Hell
season
yeah.
award?
Yeah, but it's just ridiculous, man. If you really want to get an MVP, how do you know after the regular season? You don't know till the games really mean something.
Well, there is something to say that you have to reward 82 games. If not, then why play 82 games?
Well, my thing is, yes, you do. And I'm saying in those 82 games in the regular season, Embiid would have had my vote over Jokic. But when you really see the difference is when the playoffs start. You're like, oh yeah, now it's clear.
I get it, right? Jay, when the playoffs start, but, man, it's a regular season award. I understand why sometimes people that vote on these things pick a certain dude. I think also Embiid's willingness to speak out about wanting the award, I think, may tilt things in a different way. Because you know how voters are. They don't want you trying to tell them their job. And when you campaigning for an award, they won't reward you for that. That's just the way I look at it. Plus, on top of that, they were down 0-2. He came back as 2-2, no matter how you look at it in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You see, first off, I wish we had more former basketball people that were on the list to actually help make these decisions so we weren't focused so much on analytics. I'm okay with Jokic getting the award, but I can see how, from my basketball eye test, I would give it to Joel Embiid. For my analytics test, I would give it to Jokic, right? I think that's number one. But I also think that I hear what you guys are saying about it being in the playoffs, Max. But I also don't think I easily gloss over the fact that this dude didn't have his second leading scorer and his third leading scorer on his team, and they still found themselves to be in the sixth seed for the playoffs and still got there.
He's great.
So I think it was neck and neck.
Well, let me make the argument, Jay. Let me make a boxing analogy, okay? Sometimes you can have a fight and a lot of close rounds, right? But one guy decisively won those rounds. Like, he won. To me, in my mind, Jokic versus Embiid is close. It's very close. And yet, clear to me that Embiid is the winner. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a difference between saying that and saying it's close. It could have gone either way. And
see,
saying
I don't think it's
close.
Clear to me.
It's not clear to you, huh?
That's what I'm saying. There's no legit criteria that is established to be the MVP. It's all subjective. That's right. The problem with the Dame Award.
So you don't think to guard somebody?
Yeah, I was about to say. I was just about to ask.
I don't think Jokic is as bad as you guys are making him out to be.
What I'm asking you is, does your MVP get pulled in the fourth quarter of close games because of his defensive liabilities? Yes or no?
No.
So how? No,
like Michael Jordan, LeBron James, these guys never come off the floor.
But I can tell you right now, they're about. Five or six other situations, if I had Joel Embiid in the game, I would probably think about down the stretch taking him out if he was getting isolated and targeted.
Really?
No way, yo.
This ain't the Al.
What do you mean,
this
no
ain't
way?
The Embiid who played against Al Horford five years ago.
So let me target you, Max. I'm going to target your ass. Mm-hmm. You ready?
Yeah.
You're Joel Embiid.
Yeah.
I'm Luka. Come here off this ball screen.
Well, but right.
No. I'm giving you an example. I'm Stephen Curry. I'm going to target you. Come on.
Okay, defending against a guy like Steph Curry
against
in
Jimmy
space.
Butler?
Don't care. He had 40.
Against Jimmy?
He had 40.
What?
Jimmy Butler had 40 last night.
Yeah, but Jimmy Butler's not a prolific three-point shooter. He had 40,
Ben Simmons is not a prolific scorer, and
Hold on, Yates, multiple defensive players.
You
cannot
time 42.
Out. You're taking a particular situation, and you're saying down this stretch, end of game, last couple of seconds, you're not making defensive adjustments to give your team the best chance to win the game by potentially going small.
Nikola Jokic has been getting benched in the fourth quarter of playoff games and regular season games since he was in the NBA on the same team as Jusuf Nurkic. This is a thing that he has had a problem with. Yeah, he has gotten better.
What Jay is saying is that's not disqualifying.
Gap. It is a wide gap. It should be.
Well, I don't know if it should
it's
be
a
or shouldn't
be. Totality of a player.
I'll
yes?
say this: like Giannis has a hell of a case too. If you want,
then Giannis should win MVP every year. Then
I think Giannis had the best case to tell you the truth.
But let me ask you this though, Jay. Though, as a basketball dude, man, you giving MVPs to early exit guys every single year? Early exit, no matter who's on the floor with him.
It's not a playoff award to me.
I understand that, but if you looking at the three of those teams and those guys, who's most likely will continue?
But you guys are going back to the same. Like it's like the we're having the same arguments.
No, it's slightly different.
Listen, we're having the same arguments.
I'm trying to understand.
Every single year about this award. You guys know that, right? Like, it was even that award when James Harden got it, and it was like, oh, LeBron was the best player from top. It's every single year.
But I want to make a point about that.
But I also didn't think James Harden was going home either.
Hold on, Key Jay. I want to make one point to Jay about that, okay? There's a difference between saying, wait till the end of the postseason, because you have to add up what happens in the postseason in order to determine the MVP, and saying what I think Yates is saying and what Key is touching on and what I'm pointing out, which is it's not so much that you have to count the playoffs. It's that what happens in the playoffs can make you feel justified about your pick or not. And the way the playoffs illuminate these players' greatness, it appears that if you voted for Jokic, you don't look as good right now as if you voted for Embiid. It's not that you have to count it. It's that it kind of illuminates something about the players.
That makes zero sense, though, this year.
Why?
Because this dude is playing without two of his best players. Jamal Murray dropped 50 in the bubble a couple years
ago. Well, I mean, that's also working against Jokic. When he was healthy and so was Jamal Murray, Murray was the best player on the team.
It's not working against Joel Embiid. We're getting him with James Harden. We're saying those two together can win a championship.
Well, because Embiid is still clearly the key.
My MVPs can't just be sent home every single year. That's all I'm saying. I don't give a damn if it's a regular season award or not, because in 2023, what are we going to say in 2023 when he gets sent home? What are we going to say?
Michael Porter Jr. won the MVP
3 years in a row.
He got better defensively, so it's fine. You know, we got to get him next year. In the year after that. In the VORP again. All right.
It's the point that I really want to know. Like, this is 2 years in a row. Like, this feels like Steve Nash when he won 2 years in a row and everybody thought you should have given it to LeBron both years. Like, where does this award, regular season or not, now translate to postseason pressure? Jay, like, is there anyone that has more pressure now on Jokic going into next year
NBA? Next year is off the charts for this team. Between him, Jamal Murray, and Michael Porter Jr., they have to get at least to the Western Conference Finals or an NBA championship.
I agree with you, by the way, about
for the award.
I agree with you about Jay about
I'm not the one who chose. I don't have a vote.
Wait, Jay.
I'm just telling you all my opinion.
Jay, like,
so you know, because I feel like I'm getting triple teamed. So you know, your MVP. You know, your MVP can do. He can still go out and win a world championship. Go win a world championship and shut everybody up, and there's not even a conversation. Get it done.
Yeah.
That's your opportunity for your guy who's still playing. Jokic ain't playing. He's sitting at home.
No, no, I'm with you. I'm with Jay, though, guys. I'm with Jay. Jokic's team, really, if you don't have your second and third best players, you really don't have a chance. So like, I'm not holding that part against Jokic. I'm saying that his play, and now you see what Embiid means to the team. Like, it does mean something. You got a fractured orbital bone. You get back ahead of schedule. Put on a face mask. As soon as you get back, your team that's getting destroyed in the series wins back-to-back games. Like, that means something
to
me.
That means something to me. That certainly means something. I look at that sort of stuff. Even though the award is already given out, I look at that. When I see a dude win back-to-back championship, I mean, back-to-back MVPs, Jay, and can't get his team to the NBA final.
But to be fair, Key,
who's on the team?
I hope that the Warriors and the 76ers get to a world championship so we can see down the stretch when they decide to go small, if they still leave Joel Embiid on the court.
Well, yeah, there's a difference.
I can't wait to
Jay,
see that.
I agree with you here.
Yates.
I'm giving Embiid a lot of credit for what he's doing, and he deserves that. But Jokic doesn't deserve to have credit taken away because he doesn't have a chance. Without your second and third best players, you don't have a chance. Embiid has a chance to win, but to give him credit, he's taking advantage of that chance. When Jokic had the chance, they did great until he wasn't able to match the guy who was supposed to be his second bananas, you know, performance in the playoffs, and therefore his team came up short. And until I see him correct that, I'm not giving him credit for that. I'm watching Embiid correct problems he used to have, you know?
Well, thank goodness Jokic doesn't need you to give him credit for him to win a second MVP.
That's true. I
hear what everybody's saying, but, you know, you're arguing stuff that's already done now.
Yeah.
I put ice on your head, Jay, it'll melt.
What's the narrative going to be next year, Jay? Is it going to be most games played? Or
no, they're
going
to give it to Embiid next year.
But, Yates, that's my point. That's why I'm down with you on this. So, look, I can honestly care less if it was Joel Embiid or Jokic. I'm not as passionate about it as you two are. I get more frustrated at every single year the criteria changes. It's subjective. And there's no set-in-stone criteria for what it takes to win an MVP.
And, you know, people like, once they give it to a guy once, they don't want to give it to him three times. But once they give it to him once, it's kind of easy if he does it again to give it to him again. It happened to Giannis.
He won it
happened
to Jokic. And then he won it.
Right. And maybe now I think they're done giving it to Jokic now. I think next year, if it's close, it will go to Embiid.
Jay, you're in or you're out on the award? Give me, because you change it. You keep flip-flopping on me, man.
Who?
Which one is it?
Yeah, give us your MVPs, 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, come on, just give them to me.
I mean, I would have told you I thought the best player in basketball was Giannis. Are we giving it to the best player or are we giving it to the best season?
Who's your MVP, however you want to define it? 1, 2, 3.
I would probably have Giannis because I think Giannis on both sides.
That's one. I agree. By the way, I agree.
I agree.
I would probably have Giannis. I would probably have Joel Embiid.
Yep.
And I have Jokic.
Okay, me too. I agree with you.
That's what I said. I'm not like as passionate about it as everybody else is.
Right. Well, Yates, you got to take with a grain of salt because he's a Sixers
Philly fan.
I agree with Jay, though. Like I would be much more comfortable if Giannis got that joint because it's just due. The VORP stuff, I'm cool off it, man. But you know.
Yeah, but their VORPs are all about the same. Like
are
that's
they?
Yates, yeah, they are. They're all about the same.
Are they really?
Yes, man. Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Get the $45 Silver Unlimited plan from Straight Talk Wireless.
Easy out in 99% of ballparks. So, you know, the win was the small ballpark. That's an easy out.
His math's wrong. 99% is impossible. There's only 30 parks.
I mean, Yankees manager Aaron Boone responding to Chris Woodward. Look, Gleyber Torres hit a walk-off home run. Yankees win 2-1. And Chris Woodward, the Rangers manager, after the game says this. He says this.
Small ballpark. That's an easy out in 99% of ballparks. So, you know, the win wasn't helping today, obviously, but, you know, just 3-1 count. Probably going to, you know, King is one guy that you put him back out there, you're like, okay, he's not going to give up a homer. Just happened to hit it in a little league ballpark, you know, to right field.
Now, Little League ballpark, he's trying to get a reaction. You looking for one, Chris Woodward? You got one. You got it now. But the 99% is just a figure of speech. So Aaron Boone decided to have some fun with it, right? This was Aaron Boone's response.
His math's wrong. 99% is impossible. There's only 30 parks.
Right. So you can get to 96%, but not 99. But here's the other thing, guys. not only is his math wrong, but that doesn't matter. You just know what he means. Most ballparks, it's a home. It's not a home run. He's trying to make fun of Yankee Stadium's dimensions, and that's the only reason they won. The fact is, they looked at the exit velocity. That would have been a home run in all but four of the ballparks. In 26 out of 30 parks, it would have been a home run. So Chris Woodward's stupid point is also incorrect. It's not a Little League ballpark, and it would have been a home run in almost every park, Chris Woodward. So there.
Sounds like a Yankees fan, right?
I mean, damn right. I'm like Yates with Embiid.
Yeah, no. First of all, he probably got some sort of beef with the Yankees or whatever the case is, Yankee fans, whatever.
He was a finalist for the Yankee managerial job, like when Aaron Boone got it. I'm not saying
so
that's
you
the
go.
Reason, but
so
maybe.
There you go. In terms of short parks, home run hitting parks, a lot of parks, the inline, the way that it's built, the left and the right fields, depending on what park it is, come in and are shorter. Where in New York, for instance, the Yankee center field is really one of the deepest in the majors. Where Colorado is a home run park for hitters. I mean, I could hit a home run. I could probably go 4 for 4 all homers in Colorado. Not really, but yeah, you know what I'm saying. Pitchers hate Colorado, so throwing a little shade toward the Yankees is good for baseball, but it didn't make any sense at all. Just an excuse.
Okay, isn't this such like a typical Yankees fan thing? They won the game. They're starting to be considered the best in the AL right now, right?
Yeah.
And this comment incites so much anger that it overtakes these other subject matters that seem way more important to me.
Yeah, it gives the Yankees moral indignation on top of being excellent.
Well, that's anything, though, right? You talk negative about the Yankees. You talk negative about the Giants. Nah, people don't really care about the Jets. They don't really care about the Knicks anymore. And the Nets aren't really there. But the Giants and the Yankees, if you go all in on them, people are going to come after you. Or you try to go in on the city in New York, they're going to come after you.
Well, they come
you.
After the same thing with yeah. Cowboys and Lakers. Those are the
yeah,
three.
Cowboys and Lakers, people are going to come at you.
Everyone will be at Steelers, you. Yankees, Cowboys, you. Lakers. Those are the three. Boy, you want people at you, go at the Yankees, Cowboys, or Lakers.
But he didn't go at the Yankees. Like, that's the thing. He didn't say something negative about the Yankees. He took a shot at their stadium and said it was Little League. Basically,
but,
he said
that's
this,
taking a
basically,
shot at the Yankees.
He said they don't play in a big league ballpark, which was incorrect in his statement. And B, the Texas Rangers, before they moved to their new park, had one of the most hitter-friendly ballparks in baseball. So, like, your stadium was one of the first built like this, so blame your owners because they built the first hitter-friendly ballpark at the ballpark at Arlington in the early 90s, and then it became a trend. So you don't be mad at the Yankees. Be mad at your own team.
Well, here's the other thing about baseball is, you know why Yankee Stadium has a short right field porch? It's a holdover from when Babe Ruth basically invented the home run. You know, before Babe Ruth, you'd lead the league with 8 home runs. Ruth came out, hit 60 home runs, right? So because we have this great left-handed pull hitter, or he could do more than pull it, but we're going to bring in the porch, so make him hit more home runs. DiMaggio played in that same ballpark. They had something called Death Valley, which was even way deeper than Key, and he would hit 30 home runs because where he had power to was not – it was a power alley. He had a lot of doubles, but you couldn't pull it over the wall. You couldn't, you know, get it over the wall. Every ballpark has different dimensions, and part of the charm of baseball – is that you tailor your club to take advantage of your home field. And the Yankees do the same thing. Matter of fact, one of the problems they've had in recent years, too many right-handed hitters to take advantage of right field.
Everybody kind of does that in sports, right? You tailor depending, like if you had a certain, in football, there's a certain Denver, they need a certain type of punter and kicker because of the altitude and the weather. You know, if you're in
the Bills,
New England,
take Josh Allen because it's a cold weather town. They need a big arm, athletic
strategy.
Dude.
Yeah, and you want to be able to have him pierce through the wind. That's the case, and that's what the Yankees were able to do in their lineup is get guys that can go over that wall. And Torres, bam, home run. See you later.
You know, imagine if someone went up to play Buffalo, and they start saying, "Well, yeah, right, with the wind in Buffalo, I guess." In this Pop Warner Stadium, you know, like what?
Mac Jones wouldn't be good in Buffalo.
Right.
Not at all.
Pop Warner Stadium.
You know who else you know who else took advantage of it? Eli White, who plays for the Rangers, who in game 2 hit a home run that would have been out of only 2 out of 30 parks.
Yeah, right?
Not Gleyber Torres, which would have been a home run out of 26 out of 30, like 2 out of 30. Where was Chris Woodward complaining about that one?
Oh, he likes that. He'll take that all day.
Yeah, every city, every park, it's just different, man. The altitude, the weather. You come out in L.A., the ball is sticky. When it comes off the bat, the humidity does something to the ball when it's traveling in the air. I mean, it's all sorts of different things. I guess he'll complain at his next stop, wherever they're playing next. He'll be like, ah, the lights, they're too low.
That's why the Dodgers 1 year, I'm going to say 1979 because I'm old, all four of their infielders, first base, second base, third base, all hit over 30 home runs. And it was like, oh, my God, that's impossible
in that
place.
Garvey saying Russell.
No, Russell. You know,
No, it wouldn't be.
It was Lopes. It wasn't Russell. Russell didn't hit home runs. But those three, yeah. The thing about the Yankees too is this year, the last couple of years, instead of just going for power, they got guys who can also pick it in the field. The reason they're doing well, it was only a 2-1 game. It's not because Gleyber hit the home run. It's because Rizzo's an excellent defensive first baseman. LeMahieu can play multiple positions very well in the infield. Kiner Falefa is not a hitter. He's like, okay, but he can really pick it at short and third. Donaldson's a real, like, they went out and got defenders who can also put the ball in play more than they've put it in play in recent years. Now, in addition to that, they hit some jacks. That's right. You're damn right. They're the Yankees. What you think is going to happen?
You know what the next thing Chris Woodward is going to be complaining about? The Yankees spend too much money. After the Rangers just went out and spent millions of dollars on John Gray and Corey Seager this offseason.
Yeah.
Hey, Chris Woodward, did the Yankees spend too much money?
Yeah, right. Yankees passed on all those shortstops and went out and got a cheap one in Kiner Falefa.
Not bad. They're doing pretty good.
Yeah, they are. Although the Dodgers just passed them for winning percentage.
Hey,
you
don't
see that?
Worry about that. Quiet. We didn't say anything. Leave the Dodgers alone. Let us keep
you
doing what we're doing.
Put the hex on you.
Yeah. Just
fly under
hype
the radar,
roll.
Huh?
Yeah, let the hype roll in New York. We're nice and quiet. Although Walker Buehler had his 100th win, and he was fanning people yesterday.
Yeah, Buehler was. Yeah, he has the second highest winning percentage in his first 100 decisions in baseball history. Mm. Two, Whitey Ford, Yankees ace from the 50s and 60s. Okay. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. Dirty or not, guys, the Grizzlies may be without their best player for game four. We'll tell you if they can win.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max.
Jay is the basketball expert on the show, being one of the top point guards that come out of Duke. No question about it, so he sees it different.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will and Max. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, the podcast.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and your smart speakers. We are back with Brevin Knight, who joins us now. Good morning.
Morning, how y'all doing?
What up, Jersey's finest?
Boy, man, I like hearing that.
Come on, man. Hey, I got to ask you right off the bat. What do you think about this whole Ja Morant's knee injury and how it happened with Jordan Poole?
I don't put any stock into it. The one thing that I refuse to do is to dumb down the narrative of this series to being one of breaking codes or this the next game where something else happens. We had two extreme fouls in two games. that are extreme, you know, in their nature, and they were taken care of. The thing with Ja Morant, I think more than anything, was just a basketball play. And if you slow down five plays in NBA games of the way someone was hit, it can look a certain way with it being that slow. And so I can't believe that at that point Jordan Poole knew consciously, let me grab his knee and I can hurt him. I just don't think that's not the nature of any of these players on either side. Just two teams competing hard.
Brevin Knight, Grizzlies TV analyst and best basketball player from New Jersey, is joining us on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max this morning. I had to do that just to get a chuckle out of my man, J. Will. Y'all both obviously held it down in Jersey. That's why everybody's always talking about y'all. So when you look at Brevin, when you look at the situation with Jordan Poole, does he deserve to be suspended, sort of like a Draymond situation, or do you just kind of look at it and say, well, he really didn't do it the way people are trying to say he did it, or the way Ja said he did it?
Well, when you're a competitor and you're in the heat of the moment, you're going to have your feelings. Those guys are out there competing, so I'm not going to take away anything that Ja said or the way that he feels. You asking me as another basketball player and being in situations and games where there's contact that happens as part of the game, I took it more as being contact that happened as part of the game, not as being another way of someone trying, and this is where he's trying to hurt Ja. And so that would be the way that I took it, the way that I saw it. But I would never tell someone else, especially the person that went through it, how you should feel about it.
Yeah, it looked like to me, watching it from the back angle, it looked like he was trying to reach for the ball initially, and then as he got a piece of his leg, he kind of swiped back toward his own body. But, you know, what do I know? Slow motion will make you think a lot of different things.
No, I'm with you on that, Keith.
I was going to say, if y'all want in football, Keith, you think of it, all the hand fight and everything that goes on when you're trying to get open, whatever. If we slow down every single defensive tactic or every single offensive tactic that you use to get open, people would say that's a penalty. Oh, that's a penalty too.
That's
the nature.
Hey, I was laughing and chuckling, Jay, because I was thinking when he just brought up football and hand swiping, it's dudes that have tried to swipe at the football and hit other parts of your body, and you know damn well they wasn't trying to do it intentionally, but somehow the hand winded up in that particular place.
So, Brev, with
– Exactly.
With full contact sport.
Full contact sport, slapping down on balls. What? That's what you call in basketball. You slap down on the rock. Anyway, get your head out of the gutter, Keyshawn.
I love you, Jay.
Oh, man. So, Brev, I have to – if Ja is not able to play tonight, I know Memphis's record is like 21-22-1, something crazy like that without Ja. But the dude has been averaging 38 points per game. Would you give them a legit chance without Ja, considering Desmond Bane and his injury and how Jaren Jackson always seems to be in foul trouble?
I do give them a chance because they've proven that they've been able to find ways to win without John. And I think the biggest issue is everyone raises their game up another level, but they also, you start to see it be more team oriented because, like anybody, when you have a star like John, when things aren't going well, easily you say, oh, give him the ball, he'll make it right. Well, he's not out there, so now everyone else has to make it right. We have to depend on each other a lot more than maybe you had to when he was out on the floor, because he makes the game that much easier for everyone else. And then so with that leaning on each other, with that attention to detail, but still having players that are capable of going out there and getting it done, then I still give them a chance. The matchups, the reason why I don't worry as much with this series as if this was Minnesota, because you don't have to worry about the people that are hounding the ball handlers against the Warriors as you would against a Minnesota team. And so now the loss of another ball handler doesn't affect the Grizzlies in the same way as it would against a pressure defensive team. So that still allows them to execute offensively. And then conversely, on the defensive side, it puts everybody on their P's and Q's in a heightened sense of we have to do it on a string and also individually.
Now, Brev, I know your brother and I were fierce rivals, Seton Hall Prep, St. Joe's High School, and we met multiple times in the state championships, and we had some legit battles. Can I just tell you, me as a crazy player, if my best player said something like that, broke code, whatever it is, after the game, you would expect some chippiness in tonight's game. Can we expect some chippiness in tonight's game from the Memphis side, considering what this whole series has been?
I don't think so, Jay. Well, again, I'm gonna say it again. There are very few of those guys in the league that play the game in that way. Like, these guys are too much of friends to be rivals or guys that are going to go out and do something outside of basketball. So will it be highly competitive? Yes. Do I think we're going to sit back and watch and say, oh, let's see who's going to go out? No, because that's not their style of play. Neither team plays that way. They had fouls. They have, and the reason why I say they don't play that way is because they had people take fouls in a position that puts you in place to be flagrant two, kicked out of the game. Like, if that's really how you played, you would know how to foul someone to not put yourself in that position. So that's not their. That's not who they are in terms of their personalities and how they play. So I think it's just going to be competitive basketball. Whichever team can execute the best. The Warriors' execution in Game 3 was absolutely phenomenal on both ends of the floor. And the Grizzlies have changes they have to make to stay in the game tonight. Mm.
Who are you taking tonight? No, I'm just kidding, Brevin.
Grizzlies TV analyst and Jersey's own.
You said who pays the bills. That's who I go with.
Brevin Knight. You know who pays the bills? Ja Morant. That dude needs to get back in that lineup as soon as possible.
That's why I ride with him.
No doubt. Okay.
All right,
thanks, Brevin. Appreciate it.
No doubt. Y'all have a good one.
All right.
Guys, a second-year quarterback in the MVP conversation?
No doubt, no doubt, no doubt.
Did Monday morning Dan strike again? That's next on ESPN Radio and Sirius XM Channel 80.
Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Max.
Jay is the basketball expert on the show, being one of the top point guards to come out of Duke. No question about it, so he sees it different.
This is Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Max. Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Max, the podcast.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Key, you were at the Dickie V Gala on Friday, huh?
Oh, yeah, man. It was an amazing event. I flew in Thursday, did the deal Friday, flew back to L.A. on Saturday, celebrate Mother's Day or whatnot. But it was a great, great event. V Foundation raising money to support cancer research. I think they raised about $11.5 million. It was, I've been around all sorts of events and stuff like that, but to be around something from the pouring out and the caring of individuals that was there, not only from an athlete standpoint in entertainment business, but just people that was willing to participate in the whole situation was fun. I mean, it was a fun thing. And being able to see some of the kids that have fought through pediatric cancer, it was touching. At the same time, it was one of those deals, Jay, Max, where you like just appreciate life in general, man. And having been a parent who's lost a child, different circumstances, but losing a child is losing a child. And seeing some of those kids and knowing that you got to raise money to help cancer research, because, you know, $50, $100, $200, $300 million in the grand scheme of things isn't that much money when you're talking about some of the medical stuff that has to take place.
Keith, just to add to that, I mean, I've been down to that event twice, and it literally blew my mind how hard Dickie V works to recruit people to go down there. And, you know, this whole last month and a half, 2 months, I've been hearing you talk about it. And I remember just going back to those times, the amount of texts, like 30, 50.
Like, go to sleep, man.
I'm coming. I am coming. You got me locked
Wait,
in.
Wait, I told him. I said, man, will you go to bed? It's 6 in the damn morning. I'm on the air.
And I'm like, if he's recruiting me, how is he recruiting Jay Wright? How is he recruiting Coach K? All these other guys that make all these incredible appearances, man. But shout out to Dickie V for what he puts on every single year.
Man,
he's incredible.
All day long, man.
You talk about a worthy cause. Cancer takes 10 million people worldwide a year. 10 million every year. The person who figures it out, I know they'd be standing on the shoulder of giants, right? If there's something higher than a Nobel Prize, whoever figures out a way to beat this thing deserves that. And people who are working to help cure cancer, there is no more worthy cause. Good for Dickie V and for you, Keith, for going to spend your time precious weekend to do that, because you don't have a lot of time.
Max, I couldn't say no. He wasn't going to let me say no. The dude texts me like every 30 seconds.
I wouldn't say no anyway.
No, you're right about that.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, we are back in 10 seconds from now.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Say my name again, Max.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, I said. What do you think I said?
The way you emphasize Keyshawn.
Keyshawn.
It wasn't just like Keyshawn. You know, he's like Keyshawn.
Oh, no.
So Max got some swag to him to a degree. So it's like, is he trying to be? And I have to tell him, he been around us enough where it just rubs off on him. He got that swag like that.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, swag like that. ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80.
Key, so you're saying Max is one of us?
Well, No, I didn't say that. We don't want his brain to start to go in that direction, but it's one of those deals where you know that he is comfortable dealing with us.
You can't see it right now, but Key is using a lot of hand signage for comfortable, like a lot of circling motions with the hands.
Because Max knows what I'm talking about. There are those that tolerate, and there are those that are comfortable.
It's New York, man.
Max is comfortable.
If you grew up in New York in the time I grew up, everyone was mixed in together. Like, L.A. is very diverse, but I would say, Key, economically and geographically separated. Like, you can even go to a park. In L.A., you see every ethnic group, but everyone is in their own little packs, right? In New York, everyone's just, at least maybe it's not that way anymore, but when I was a kid, everyone was mixed in together. So, you know, you get used to everybody.
Melting.
Yeah, so, yeah, you know, Max is one of them dudes, he kept, like they asked me, I said, what's up? I said, man, he cool, man. He get a pass, he straight.
Dropping lyrics, you know, dropping bars and everything.
Yeah, he good, man, you know, because you know every now and then, Max knows this, you can be accused of something that you're not. And I had to set him straight. I said, no, he ain't.
Don't do it.
They're trying too hard, in other words?
Yeah, but you good, though. You ain't, you know. You one that, you know, you might slide down the aisle, one that look like me. You know what I'm saying? You, that's how you roll.
Oh, my goodness.
You know? Wait, what? No,
hey, Max, hey, I see you staring at the screen. Don't transition off that one.
He trying to get out of there.
Don't transition. No, okay, I see him again at the screen while you're saying, I'm like, out of all the things to transition off
in
of,
New York,
not that
I will
line.
Say, I will say that line. I don't want to get too deep into this, but in New York,
it's okay,
everyone
man.
Converges. Everyone converges on a certain type in terms of the stuff that Key just said. That is a mix of everybody, and I will leave it at that.
I love yes. that. Yeah, dance yes. around. Let's go.
What should we talk about it? This segment, every day, you get to vote on it.
Key, I can't.
F1 interviews, 17%. Someone thought that Paulo Banchero was Patrick Mahomes. Little League ballparks. Oh, sorry, fight night, because Canelo was upset by Bivol. I don't consider it that big an upset. Bivol was always going to be his hardest fight south of 175 pounds or south. Bivol won. 17% want to talk about that. 27% want to talk about Little League ballparks. That's what Chris Woodward, Rangers manager, said about Yankee Stadium after Gleyber Torres walked off with a home run. And he said, oh, it wouldn't have been as just a home run in this Little League ballpark. But 39% want to talk about Justin Fields' future, Key.
Yeah, he got a great future in Chicago. And I want you to take a listen to what Dan Orlovsky just said about him.
I was surprised that one of those second-round picks wasn't either an offensive lineman or a wide receiver. Like I said, his top two pass-catching threats are a second-round tight end and a third-round wide receiver that they took high draft-wise. The third round 24 or 25-year-old receiver they took out of Tennessee this year. So for us to expect for this young quarterback to come in and play really well this year, you're kidding yourselves. It's not going to happen. And if Justin Fields plays really well this year, he will be in the MVP conversation because of what he has been given to play with.
And that's not a stretch, though. Mm-hmm. If he plays well, you know he's done some magical things. And that's why in my ranking a week ago, I had him at number two. Which was, I'm saying, I believe his skill set, Max and Jay, will allow him to do some things that Dan says that will put him in an MVP conversation. Now, I don't know it'll be an MVP conversation, but he certainly has the ability to put his team on his back despite not having the name-branded people that people are looking for in the offensive side of the ball.
He does look, Jay, to me, to be on the spectrum somewhere between like Dak Prescott and Josh Allen. Strong, mobile, big arm. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Try the $45 Silver Unlimited plan from Straight Talk Wireless with nationwide 5G on America's best network. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. 5G capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. So, Jay, when I said that, you were like, I don't know.
No, because I automatically, when I hear names like Josh Allen, I'm like, okay, Josh Allen was involved in an MVP conversation a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. Or Dak Prescott has got paid to bag this past offseason, two offseasons ago. But I think the important thing around Justin Fields is patience. And I think Key has talked about the timing of this. Right, by the time you get a quarterback to year three, that's where you're looking for all the snacks, like snizzle. Did I say snizzle?
Snizzle.
Yeah,
snizzle.
For shizzle. Never mind. I ain't going to say
and
riff.
Pop coming out. But I'm saying essentially Justin Fields, like this is year one for him because he was splitting time last year with Andy Dalton just to make sure that we keep that into perspective.
Like let's not anticipate too much snizzle right off the top.
Snizzle, there you go. Periff,
snack, crackle,
snizzle.
Pop, man.
Snack, crackle, yeah. Pop.
There I don't know. Gaggy.
I was going to say don't expect – look. Don't – I'm not saying he 5,000 yards. I'm not saying 50 touchdowns to 10 interceptions. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is you can look at his ability and the things that he's going to be able to do in helping his team get those wins. His ability and his style will make him the second best quarterback out of the top six second-year guys for me because it'll be because of him they're winning the games. It won't be because of anything else.
When I think about Josh Allen, the one thing is for all the raw talent, and he had crazy raw talent, it took years of development, and the development went like perfectly. Like you couldn't ask for better development year over year for him to get where he is. And the whole question with Fields is, will he be in an environment that allows that kind of development year over year?
Well, Chicago Bear fans better hope so. That is why they hired the coaches that they hired, and Eberflus, and I can't think of the offensive coordinator's name, but that's why they bring in Ryan Poles to do the things that a young, talented quarterback is capable of doing. That's why they went up to get him to begin with, because certainly Matt Nagy and company thought that they had something. They just didn't know what to do with it.
Yeah. I mean, look, Trubisky had success in Chicago that no one else has had since Trubisky. But Fields was working in his rookie season, starting games, with virtually nothing behind a bad offensive line. And let's face it, by the standards of the NFL, a coach who was not successful, so bad coaching situation, without a lot of receiving targets, etc. I mentioned Josh Allen, Jay, but another guy who comes to mind is Dak Prescott. Because when I look just at raw stuff, I know it's a lot more to it than that. Whatever Dak can do in a raw sense, just like the raw material, I feel like Justin Fields has that plus. He has like Dak talent plus. There's a far from Dak. Dak has done a lot of other things. But if he can go through the progressions quicker and all that stuff, man, the sky's the limit.
Yeah. I think he's more talented than Dak Prescott.
Yeah. I agree. He definitely looks more dynamic.
Yeah.
But I think, once again, continuity helps with who you're – OC is, with who your head coach is, and really building that into fundamentally how you play the game.
Yeah, well, he got a little more runway now because, as Key said, this is like his rookie season in a lot of respects. So patience, patience, patience. Chicago, you finally drafted a guy who may wind up to be a great quarterback for the first time ever.
Max, I'm going to turn you into Travis Kelce 2.0.
What's up?
Just check it out. Just check out Travis Kelce 2.0 and his swag and how he get out.
Oh, me? I know. I love Travis Kelce.
He said, what do you mean? They said, oh, yeah.
Oh, I got it. It was in my ear. He said me to Travis. Yes. Yeah, I'll take that all day.
Do you know what it is? Yeah, will you take that all day?
For sure. Max, man, Max.
All day,
Max,
twice
sneaky
on Sunday.
Does he know we're talking about taking
twice
that
on
day?
Sunday from context, Jay. You get it immediately. We're back tomorrow, 6 a.m. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.